Right now it is time to bring in Tim Luke and Greg Strom, the appraisal guys, the frickin' frack of Nick and Knack, a Treasure Quest appraisal group. You can find them on the web at tqag.com, or you can find them right here on Robinhood Radio on a Tuesday morning. Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Greetings.
Are you in two different locations?
We are. I'm at home in Hobe Sound, and Tim is in Tampa.
I'm in Tampa. I'm actually
in a warehouse, no less.
Well, yeah, I'm outside waiting for, we start at 8 o'clock, so I thought I'd get to the warehouse where I need to be before, so I could just be here while we're doing the show. So I'm sitting outside of a warehouse waiting to go in to do day two of our appraisal inspection. So very fun.
How big of a warehouse is it?
Oh, it's one of those, you know, it's a big storage facility. Okay. So, yeah. So it's pretty big.
Can you describe this task as daunting?
Yeah. It's multiple locations and a lot of things that are packed away in a warehouse, which usually when you think about what people put into a storage unit, you know, it's just a bunch of stuff and you have to pull it out and find it. Well, this particular assignment is every piece of artwork was not only wrapped in freezer paper, you know, the brown paper, but also then wrapped in bubble, and not just one or two pieces of tape, like almost sealed, where we have to cut the thing open just to see what's inside. To give, and then, you know, they're going to have people come back and repack it because I said, you know, we can't spend the time going through just packing and unpacking. Let's just get it, photograph it so we see what it is, seal it up as best we can, and then move on. So, yeah, it's fun.
So you've got straight edge wool handle or wool travel, right?
Oh, yeah. You got it. But it's good. I should finish today. I mean, we have about just another 20 items here. We worked all day yesterday, so got as much as we could done yesterday. And then we have about 20 items here and then about another 100 at another facility. But those are all at an office facility, and it's all on the wall. So much easier.
And you have to be careful when you're using those straight edges around those pieces of art, huh?
Oh, well, yeah. And not only that, you also have to be careful because what they did is whoever packed this up also taped on the wall hanging, you know, like the little brackets to hang it,
yeah.
And the nails that go into the wall. And I didn't realize that there was one on the side, and I went to pick a piece up. And I got a little bit of a puncture, but no, you know, it's a little appraisal.
Workman's comp.
Yeah, no, it's all fine. It's all fine. But yeah, so we're moving right along, and you know, it's an exercise in, they're working off, and here's an example of, they were working off an old appraisal that had really terrible photographs, and we're trying to identify certain things because it's part of an estate. And this is why it's so important to keep up if you have these things that you need to have inventoried. It is so easy to do digital photos now. And these photos that they had, it was probably 10 years ago. And the difference in photography in just 5 to 10 years is amazing. So that's why we're going through this, is to try and get it all updated so that it's proper, you know. So all good.
Well, I have a little story here, you know, a little follow-up. You know,
Go ahead.
Oh, which one? I have two. Actually, I have two. Which one is yours?
So mine's about the Porsche.
Oh, and mine is about, oh, yours is the Porsche. Okay, mine is about the Aston Martin.
Okay, well, go ahead. I'll show you mine if you show me yours.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Just let me preface this by also by just letting you know, if I sound older today, it is because I turned 70 last Friday, and Now, I am actually a year older.
And you, so and, if, you and you survived the free fall.
I did. But you know, my saying this year is 70 is the new 69. So, but anyway, last week at Sotheby's, they had the sale, what is it called? The Coeur, the something or other out in California. And they had the original James Bond Aston Martin, the DB5. And if you recall, it was coming up for sale, and it's been there were only two made. One was made for Goldfinger, and the second one they made was actually as a promotion thing to promote the second Thunderball in 1965. But it ended up selling on Thursday night for, drum roll, it was estimated at between 4 and 6, and it sold million. At $6.4 million.
Wow!
So they don't know who, they declined to say who the buyer was, but this is going to be a good segue for what Tim is going to talk about, because this particular car is probably the most iconic car. It's right up there with the Steve McQueen car, and but the James Bond car is probably the most famous car in the world. And when it has sold in the past a couple of times, but this was a record for Bond for a car. So
yeah, that established a record for James Bond but a James Bond memorabilia too. That's really,
oh, just FYI, all of the tools work, the rotating license plate, the bat, the bullet shield, and even the machine guns come out of the front fender. So
what about the switch that sends oil out the back of the car? Does that
right?
Yeah, they said all of the gadgets have been restored.
So they all work. Wow.
Yeah.
Well, we had talked about the first Porsche being offered at auction, yeah. And apparently that also took place over, I don't know if it was over the weekend, I'm not sure exactly when, I think it was Saturday was when the sale took place.
The Bond car sold on Thursday and the Porsche sold on Saturday.
Well, the Porsche, so it was estimated, you know, I forget what the estimate was at this point, but it was in the millions, and it's the very first one. And here is an example of good communication, articulation is what really sank the sale of this particular car. Apparently, the auctioneer started auctioneering and opened the bidding, and on the conversion board and on the signs, the bidding went from, it was like 10 million, then it went to 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 million dollars. Everyone's going crazy. And the auctioneer looks over at it and says, wait, no, I'm only at 17 million, not 70 million. And the crowd went crazy. They were jeering, they were booing. And he said, no, let's fix that. We're only at 17. And of course, at this point, people started to leave and walked out because they thought that this was some sort of rigging, and they didn't trust what was going on, and the car didn't reach its reserve, which was probably 20 million, and it went unsold. And it, by no other, I mean, it just was somebody at the, whoever was doing the conversion board probably heard whatever it was, 15. He was probably saying 15 million, and it was 50. They is what they heard, so it was 50. They didn't say 16 million. 17 million. No, not 17. Not 70. 17.
So. According to the article, they started at 13, and the guy or whoever was running the board heard 30, and that's where it started. And it just kept multiplying. And it, you know, unfortunately, the auctioneer didn't catch it. And
until
so
it was too late. And then when they tried to, and then when they tried to, I'm sure everyone was thinking, wow, because that would have been just a record sale and just amazing. And of course, then when they say, no, it's not 70, it's 17. Wow. Everyone just was like, okay, no, we're done. We're out of here. No, I don't, what are you doing? Are they running the bids? What, anything like that reads into people will distrust and walk out. And unfortunately,
well,
that's
I thought it was also interesting in the article, they mentioned that overall the sale was down by what they normally were, what they were expecting. They were expecting it to do a lot higher, and it was significantly less than what they had anticipated. And the conjecture is that it's because of the stock market, what's been happening this past week in the stock market. But, you know, I'm not so sure that that's actually the case. When you're at that level and there's a handful of these people who have that kind of liquidity, and these two cars, which were famous cars, just by virtue of the fact that there's such a rarity on these items, I don't really think the market had that much to do with it, the stock market. So I don't think you can blame the stock market on the poor. I think a lot of it had to do with just the cars themselves, I guess. So,
well,
but it was still a good sale.
Right. But I think it's also, Greg, if you think about it, you know, the stocks that are – the market is going through a readjustment is what's happening, is that, you know, it's just been chugging, and everyone's expecting, oh, more and more and more. Well, when there is that readjustment, it's like, well, this is a rare piece. Maybe if it doesn't sell and it's reoffered, they can get it at a better price. So there's a lot of other psychology and things that go into it. And I think that could also factor in. So
they were anticipating,
but it is a factor.
Yeah, they were anticipating $380 million for the sale is what they had estimated, they had expected to get. And upon the completion of the auction, they had approximately $245 million. So, which is still a good chunk of change. My wallet isn't that large. I couldn't carry that much money in my wallet. So, it's still, you know, I mean, to get ho hum, it only sold for $245 million. I mean, come on.
Well, exactly.
But you know, when you get cars like that, they had a Cobra. I think it was 2 years ago. They expected it to go off at this huge, huge price. It was a one of a kind automobile, and they thought it was going to, and it came nowhere near. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I think that sometimes there's big hype, and I think that because we've seen these amazing numbers come through, is that then we come to expect that all the time, as opposed to, well, wait, yeah, okay, it's rare, but that doesn't mean it's going to sell for 100 times what you're estimating it. Let the market dictate where it's supposed to sell. And
what do we say? How many times have you heard us say that? The market will dictate where it is going to sell. And that is tried and true, and it just does not change. It only takes two people to bid something up, and these two people the people that were bidding on these things, they went where they wanted to spend, and that's what it was worth. So I have to laugh when I see that $245 million was a flop. I mean, come on.
I know, it makes you guys say flop.
Well
it's not what it didn't meet expectations.
That's what it is. That's what I'm getting at. Is that I think that their expectations may have also been fueled by their seller's expectations of, well, I want this, or you can't have the car in the sale. So a lot of it is a lot of that wheeling and dealing, just trying to get it into the sale with hopes that, well, if we promote it enough, maybe we will get that. So it's a little bit on both sides, and really, at the end of the day, it's a good indicator. hey, here's where it is, and you go in with not so high of expectations the next time, and then they exceed them. So hopefully.
All right. Well, so what's your next? What does your next week look like, you guys?
Well, actually, this coming Friday, I'm having a little shoulder procedure done on my left shoulder.
Was that from your skydiving?
No, actually, it's not. It's from an old. It's the sins of my childhood coming back to haunt me, and it's turned into arthritis. I used to be a competitive springboard diver, and I was training. And I was working on a forward 2.5 somersault, and my hand slipped off my knee, and it went out, and the torque of my body spinning was faster than the arm out, and I tore the rotator cuff. So I had it repaired, and lo, all these many years later, it has turned into arthritis, and as I say, the sins of my childhood have come back to bite me in the butt. So I have to have it worked on this week, and I have to have it done because that's my skillet arm. I have to use that arm when I'm lifting skillets. So
I was going to say this: we have important things, and we have important things, but you can't lose the skillet arm. You can't change your arms. You can't go to another skillet arm.
So that's what I'm doing this week, and for the next couple of weeks, recovering from that. But Tim, I think you have.
I'll get back tomorrow. I'll drive back. I should finish here today, and then drive early in the morning because it's about a 3.5-4 hour drive. So I'm gonna do it in the morning tomorrow, and just a couple other little appraisals that I have toward the end of the week, and then helping Greg on Friday. So.
All right, well,
yeah. I'm hoping that this surgery is going to also help my golf game. Whether it will or not is debatable, but I'm hoping it's going to help my golf game.
The easiest way to help your golf game is alcohol after the golf game. That's the easiest way.
Or during.
All right, guys, I'll speak to you next week.
Okay, hey, have a great week, Marshall.
Take care.
Take care, buddy.
Bye.
Tim Luke and Greg Schramm, the appraisal guys, the frickin' frack of Nick and Knack, Treasure Quest Appraisal Group, TQAG.com, with Appraise This.